Appreciate you, brother. What a joy to be back here at the Mission Church. Man, you must be so proud of your pastor, man, touching nations for the kingdom, huh? Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Just so grateful for God's using Pastor Greg and Laura. And we have been a lot in that part of the world, and to hear reports from people that have been directly impacted by his life and ministry. And to think that from Holmes, New York, this great area, great church, that the mission touches literally around the world is pretty amazing. And so what a joy. A joy to be with you guys. Thank you so much, Laura, for your kindness. And Pastor Keith, and the kind of the contact before coming. Such a sharp, gentle, sweet spirit of God. Great mom and dad. And Keith, thank you for your kindness and all the email stuff. And he actually sent me my sermon notes, so this is all from him, what I'm sharing this morning. And but what a joy to be here. How many are glad you're? Isn't it great just to be alive? It's amazing. We get to do this. Looking forward to tonight's service, and I'm so glad my sweet wife is with me this morning. We're normally always together, but we're looking forward to a great day and believe in God to move in a great way. You know, the Lord is moving around the world. A woman came up to me. We're in a church in Coimbatore, India. And we were having a healing service that night, and a woman that I prayed for, the Lord whispered to me and said, have that woman pray a prayer over you. And I didn't know that she spoke very good English because my prayer over her was translated, whatever. But I told the person, you know, translating as I prayed for people, can you just maybe snag that woman out of prayer? And she heard me, and she turned around, she wheeled around, and began to speak a prophetic word into our lives. I know that prophetic sometimes, you know, the people can get off base and that can get to be some weird things, but the prophetic, when it's biblical, it's powerful. The real genuine prophetic is powerful. And so don't let the weird stuff rob you of the genuine stuff. And she spoke a word and over our lives. One of the things that she said many things that have all come to pass, which I mean detailed things. But one thing she said was God's going to send you young people from around the world to partner with you to make my name famous. And, you know, we love young people. I was a youth pastor 400 years ago, back when I wore my pants a lot lower. You know what I mean? I'm over 50 now. And, you know, when you get over 50, you keep hiking up the pants higher and higher. And next time you see me, my belt buckle might be wrapped around my Adam's apple. I don't know. And the young people, they wear their pants wrapped around their kneecaps. You ever see that? They got them down here. And we say, look, isn't that the... But anyway, and we've always loved young people. And the Lord has done that. We're so grateful for young people. And in about 3 weeks, pray for this. Within 3 weeks, we're flying a group of Romanian young people. Many of them are orphans. An orphanage that we are really connected with. We're flying them to another part of Romania as our missions team. 16 of them. They're never on an airplane before. And they're practicing, they're fasting every Monday. And we're going to Turkish Muslim villages, unreached villages, to have outreaches and plant churches. And I think it's amazing. God's moving all over the world. And so these are 16 kids. Again, many, some are in poor gypsy villages. Many are from the orphanage, but that love Jesus, baptized the Holy Spirit. So we're believing God to shake those villages with the good news of Jesus and for churches to grow and thrive in that area. So pray for that. You know, we never mention a big deal on Sunday mornings, but I'm only here for one day. There's a table out in the front with some costume jewelry, some snake oil that we pray be a blessing to you. I'm only kidding you, okay? You're thinking, did he just say snake oil? And I'm only kidding you. We don't sell costume jewelry, not that, you know, whatever. But some things that are out there, Robin's CD, some things. And all of that today is going to go to help with that trip with those orphanage kids to reach Romania. And Rob won't be out there this morning and tonight. And I never do this on a Sunday, but I'm only here today. And I tell every church, wherever we at, this. If you like music, whatever, Robin's done a bunch of things, or a ministry CD, but and you can afford it, great. If you can't, you see Robin, we have a free gift for you. We never want to put a price tag in the ministry, but because God's been too faithful. I know God is really, he's faithful, amen? And so you can afford it, great blessing for those young people, but if not, free. Now, the ones that are free, they're a little bit different. They're chip and they skip a little bit, but you'll kind of get the genuine, you'll get the idea, the message. Like Robin has one CD, all the hymns and the free ones, like how great they are, and make them out how good great they are. But don't come back and complain because make you pay a dime. Okay, so I'm just kidding you. Hey, I want to go to God's word this morning. It's Matthew 22. If you have a Bible, Matthew 22. I want to get it, verse number 1, and I'm going to read on through to the end of the book of Revelations. We have to get moving. We're going to go verse by verse all the way through. But Matthew 22, beginning, not quite that much, Matthew 22, beginning at verse 1, I'm going to stay in the same subject as the first service. I don't always do that, but I'm going to today. Matthew 22, 1 goes like this. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered. Everything is ready. I come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention, and they went off. One was healed, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those invited. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet's ready, but those invited do not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants that went out in the streets and they gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told his attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" You know what? I did that in the first service. I'm reading the text, and I got my hand. I'm shaking this thing. I'm trying to read something that's on the move here, so I let go, and everything turned out okay. I want to go back in time this morning, and I want to live out this amazing parable of the Lord Jesus. This one parable teaches us that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. It's a picture of Israel rejecting the Messiah. And then God turns to the Gentiles, which of course happened. And we see in the scripture, the king, a wedding banquet. One day, friend, we that know Jesus will be gathered to what's known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you and I will be there on that glorious day. And the King Jesus, our King, will be there. And the Bible talks in the parable about something very, very important. And that is that of the wedding garment. Bible talks in Revelation, it speaks about this wedding garment that's given to those who come to Christ. I love Revelation 19, it says this. "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen and bright and clean were given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.'" The moment anyone in this room, the moment you gave your life to Christ, God gave you your own set of a wedding garment. Isaiah calls them garments of salvation. The Bible calls them robes of righteousness. When God sees you this morning, he doesn't see you, my friend, in the nice clothes that you may have on. Doesn't see you in your past, but he sees you covered in a garment of salvation. Now, my mother, you actually knew my mother. Her name is Old Mother Hubbard. That was my mother. And that's all with respect. She loved being referred to as Old Mother Hubbard. When my mom, I held her hand when she took her last breath. And at my mom's funeral, she laid out there in a gorgeous green outfit. But I remember thinking about myself, looking at my mother. I'm thinking, "Oh, I'm so grateful that my mom really, you don't see her today wearing a green dress. But when she left this world, she left wearing the right clothes." You see, for all of us, not some of us, all of us, my friend, there'll come a moment in your life when the only thing that will matter is what you're wearing spiritually. And my friend, what's so critical, if you want to go to heaven, how's this for freedom? If you want to go to heaven, If you do not want to go to hell, if you want to know heaven forever and ever and ever, you better make sure you die with the right clothes on. And the Bible calls them, again, garments of salvation. Because in a parable, the whole focus is on one guy in the parable that was there without the right clothes. We read it a moment ago. The king arrives at the banquet. He notices a guy not wearing the right clothes. He approaches the guy and says, "Hey, dude, who lets you in here?" And the Bible tells us he was thrown outside into absolute darkness. This morning, for all of us, I'm not asking, I'm not inferring. I am begging for everybody in this place to make sure that you are right now wearing the garment of salvation. How does it happen? The moment you accept Jesus as Savior, God gives you your own set of wedding clothes. Now, if the wedding garment is that important, and it is, some simple, quick thoughts, and we'll be done. The first one is the availability of the garment. And this is what's so exciting. This wedding garment, it never, never goes out of style. There's some things right now, I got my closet back home. If I pulled them out, my wife would kill me. There's some things that just aren't in style anymore. And you look at life, and maybe there's a certain type of clothing that you've had for years. But then you go to the store, and they tell you, we don't run that product any longer. And you're thinking that your world's going to come to an end. The good news is this. The wedding garment of salvation, it never, never, never goes out of style. It's available 24/7 on every continent, and the store is open every moment of the day. Now, when I say available to everybody, I mean everybody. How about this list of 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9? It reads there, "Do you not know that wrongdoers will inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be like the sheep. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with other men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." We'll read that list and go, wow. But then Paul said this, "And that is what some of you were." Read over the list again. "And that is what some of you were." But he says, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." What does that mean? There could be somebody in this house that says, "Greg, you know what? I get this, the message, but I'm not sure this is for me." This wedding garment, it's for absolutely any person, anywhere, no matter who they are or what they have done. It's available to all people, every tribe, every nation, every sinner. It's for all who will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so no one needs to go to hell because this wedding garment available, never out of supply. Never, you go on Amazon, click on something, sometimes they'll tell you out of stock or back order. I promise you, God's always got a wedding garment every time somebody prays a prayer to give their life to Jesus Christ. It's only available to all people, but you must know this. It's available only by the way of imitation. Now, what does that mean? I mean, some folks say, you've got loved ones, I do, and they'll say, "You know what? Look, kid, when I get around to it, when I choose, I'll come to Christ." That's impossible. It can't happen. Nobody can come to Jesus whenever they want to. That might shock some people. You say, "Greg, well, no, Greg, wait a minute. My God can save anybody, anywhere, anybody." Yeah, my God can too. But according to John 6:44, no one can come to him unless the Father who sent me draws them. And I will raise them up on those days. What does that mean? People can only come to Jesus when they're drawn by the Spirit of God. Do you know how many folks that once sat in church services that now run through the corridors of hell saying, "Dear God, what did I do? I played with my life, and I kept thinking I'll get around to it when I choose to." I think of a guy in the Bible that lived this out, so heartbreaking. His name is Felix. In Acts 24, 25, it says this. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. And he said to Paul, that's enough for now. Listen to what he said. When I find it convenient, I will send for you. Can I just say this? That's playing with fire. How many folks, you and I know, that you give anything for God to shake them and awaken them? Because they feel like they can just do this whenever they want to. Now, I got to be careful, because I know what they say, the church growth books, whatever, you know, keep it short, keep it snappy, and keep it funny. But I'm sorry, I don't know how to make hell funny. I don't know how to do that. I'm not a good enough communicator to somehow, I don't know how to cushion this. When people die without Jesus, they go to hell. Why do you think your pastors in Ghana, listen, we know all about international travel, nothing glamorous about international travel. The airports, the jet, listen, you know why he's there? To see people come to Jesus and for leaders to be leaders and raise them up to be all that God wants them to be. So imagine, hell is real. This is not a game that we're playing. I've got no desire to come and like give a speech. I mean, you kidding me? I'm begging somebody, don't play with your soul. Say, Gray, hold it. You're being a little bit too intense. Just lighten this up a little bit. Can you lighten this up? My concern is I will not be dramatic enough, because it is a fearful thing for somebody to die without Jesus and be lost forever. All the while, God says, I made the provision. I've got your garment. I've got your robe. I can forgive you. I can wash you. Greg, you against abortion? I think abortion is the murder of an unborn child. But you know what else I'm against? A young woman who goes through life without realizing that there's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God can say the wedding garment of salvation, it's available. Every nation, every tribe, every people. And we must be very careful when God draws us that we do not resist. We do not hold back and say, you know what, maybe tomorrow. Because the Bible says, don't brag about tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow holds, the Bible says. The availability of the garment is for all people at all times who call on name. How many are glad God's not done with your family? Somebody say amen. Come on. Amen. The second thing about the garment, it's available, great, but how do you get it? How do you access this? Did you watch those infomercials? You know, the works, the grass trimmer in Azure? It's you know, and you got the infomercial, and it does this, and it slices, it dices, and it can make your salad, and you can manicure your lawn. I mean, the works, whatever, it runs by back. And then at the end, they tell you, we're going to come back and tell you how you can order yours right now. It's one thing to know about the garment. It's another thing to receive the garment. A lot of people know the way of salvation, but they're lost without God. Lot's wife knew the way, but she's lost for all eternity. So I'm glad it's available, but how do we access this? I'm glad you asked. The way to access the wedding garment, it's simple. It can only be done by faith. Basic Bible, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For as by grace you've been saved through faith, this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. I'm so grateful. We do not need to work to get to heaven. Jesus paid the price on the cross 2,000 years ago. When Jesus said, it is finished, the devil misunderstood. I'm convinced the devil heard him say, I am finished. But that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say I. He says, it is finished. When Jesus died on the cross, my friend, he paid the price. All we must do is receive by faith in what Jesus did on that cross some 2,000 years ago. So it doesn't matter. Are you Catholic or Protestant, Baptist, Lutheran, Nazarene, gluten-free? Doesn't matter who you are. As long as your faith is in Jesus Christ, you can become a child of Almighty God. So how do I get this? By putting our faith in the one that died on the cross. So another thing about how to receive this, and this is pretty important, it's free. I said it's free. Oh, I'm in the shade. My gosh, it's nice out here. That light could burn the stink out of a skunk, I'm telling you right now. That light right there. Man, listen careful. This is free. And someone quickly says, well, no, Greg, don't talk to you. Salvation's free. Yeah, we have to count the cost of fall of the Lord, but salvation's free. Some folks don't like that. And some folks go to hell because they will not accept the fact that Jesus paid the bill. Bible talks about grace and the gospel as a stumbling block to those that believe. Well, you want salvation? You got to cut yourself and sacrifice some bulls? Okay. No. Salvation was purchased in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's free. Free is good. My wife and I were having dinner, lunch actually. Honey, am I talking too fast? Am I doing all right this morning? I'm trying to slow down. Okay? All right. Here's the deal. We're in a restaurant in West Virginia years ago, and nice little luncheon buffet. We're in services, just her and I having lunch. And you ever get to the end of your meal, and you're looking for the waiter, waitress, server to pay your bill? You're just sitting there, and you're done eating, and now you want to wrap the thing up. You want to go on with your life, basically, okay? You need to move on, right? And so you ever have a hard time getting the attention of your server? I'm not disrespectful. They work hard, but then body language kicks in. You see them working, and then you're sitting there, and just kind of you got looking, and just kind of, and then when you see them, your body language, you're like bodies, like just, and then when they see you, they look up, they're thinking like, drink real, and you go like this. What does this mean? That means the check. That means the check. That's what that means. And so that doesn't mean I'm just, and so she finally came over after a long time. She came over, and she said, can I help you? I just went through, we placed your rates for half an hour. I didn't say that, Taurus. I said, we're ready for the check, and she said, that will not be necessary. I said, I think that will be necessary. I said, we didn't pay yet. She said, it's all set. Now, she could have been more clear, but I don't know. Maybe a bit. I said, ma'am, you got me, because we're not from here, and we just ate the great buffet, just wonderful. But we haven't. She said, sir, she said, somebody in the restaurant paid for your bill. You're all set. You don't need the check. I'm thinking, well, I wish you told me that when you're, or whatever. But I didn't let it go because I felt awkward. Because then there's a sense of, we're not from around here, and if there's a mistake, I don't want to get tackled in the parking lot of the restaurant, be on the paper, evangelist and wife run out, skipping their bill. I'm thinking, this is weird. And she says, I don't, I said, well, what about the tip? She said, sir, it's all, she said, look, she said, I don't know how else to tell you. There's no check. You ate for free. You can go now, sir. Now, When I paid my own bill, and whatever, I walk out normal. I just you do it normal. You pay, you walk out, and I just walk out. For me, it's kind of walk out. I get a weird walk. I kind of lumber. You kind of just whatever. Just walking out. Great lunch. Good whatever. You walk. But when somebody buys your lunch, and you don't know who it was, everything slows down. You reach for your car keys and you look all over the restaurant. Do I know somebody in here? You turn into kind of creepiness. You're like looking at people. And everything. And then when, then there's like the fake, the decoy. You drop your keys on purpose. Oh, man, I drop my keys and I'll pick them up. But as you come up, you're looking all over the restaurant. Then when you walk out, it's all different. because it's unusual. And you kind of walk on a stiff, whatever, and you're kind of awkward, whatever, and you get out in the car, and you're hoping, dear God, there's not a, you just feel kind of weird. There's somebody breathing in this room right here this morning, and God's saying to you, you do not need to pay one dime. It's been purchased with my blood shed upon that cross. It's free. But some say, you know, Greg, that's good for some people. But Greg, I'm doing pretty well financially. I'm glad you are. But hate to break the news to you. Your finances could be in the billions, but could not afford one thread of the wedding garment of salvation. None of us can purchase this garment. You ever go to a store? Go, that's a nice whatever shirt, whatever. Look at the price tag and go, yeah, are you kidding me? Often the price tag prohibits us of accessing what's on the rack. I kid this morning. People that shop for clothes in airports, they're sick people. Don't they know there's another world outside of the airport? And the prices? I mean, yes, I think I'll buy that necktie for $199.99. I think, that's a work of the devil, somebody say yes. Yes, I'll take the small tuna fish sandwich for $49.95. Thank you so much. Can you add one pickle to it for another $10? Yeah. Is it the prices inside an airport? Are you kidding me? But can I tell you, there's a garment that no man can ever afford. It is a garment that gives you access into heaven. And Jesus paid for it in full. He paid for it all. Did I spit on you guys? Because I didn't mean to. I'm not even kidding you. Because when I like shook my head, are you sure? Because I'll tell you off and continue on with the message. Okay. Whew. If you get hit with a sweat, just remember, there's power in the shower. Come on, somebody. I was kidding in one church talking about spitting when I speak, and I'm not proud of this. I've been trying to, you know, Pastor Greg has passion, and he's articulate. I just always love the way he communicates. And I come in like a bull in a china shop, sweating, spitting, and I spit on a guy in a church. I'm not even kidding, in the front row. I mean, I just like a torpedo. If I aimed, I couldn't have done that well. Got him right in the forehead. I'm not, some saw it, most didn't. He just sat there and froze, looking at me, whatever. And I could see the moisture, so I just kept on preaching and just walked up by him and just wiped off his forehead and just kept back, just went back to preaching. So I want to be careful. I don't damage too many people in this room. You still with me? We still together? I'm almost done. It's received by faith. It's free. Oh, yeah. And the Act says this. You ought to know something. It fits. Do you ever try something on in the store? And then you look in the mirror and you're going, you know what? Just, man, these pants, they're just, I don't know. Or man, you try the shoes, man. How's it feel? Rubbing my right leg feels good, but my left foot is rubbing on my. You ever just get in? And what they say is, if you don't like it in the store, you're not gonna like it when you get back home. You gotta like it in the store. Somebody say amen. Come on. Do you know what some people say? They say, Greg, you know what? Preach, sweat, spit, do your deal. But this isn't for me. This Jesus doesn't fit. You ever a family member say to you, hey, look, I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you. Just really happy. You found what works for you. You're just really happy. You found what works for you. You found what works for you. And can I just say this? Nothing will fit you like the salvation garment Jesus has with your name on it. What doesn't fit is the devil's clothes. His clothes are restrictive. That they keep you from who you're supposed to be. Whom the Son says free is free. You serve the devil, my friend, he'll put you in clothes that were never, never made for you. My friend, they're restrictive and uncomfortable and they'll keep you. But when you slip on Jesus, I promise you, Jesus will fit you like religion ever fits you. You'll say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Why did I wait so long to put you on? One time in India, I didn't bring the right clothes to India. It was all my bad. Robin said, honey, pack ties, pack ties, pack ties. I said, no ties, no ties, no ties, no ties. Sometimes I sweat when I minister. I don't really sweat. I glisten for the glory of God is what I do. I miss for the Lord Jesus. That's what I do. I glow for him. And so I went to India. Didn't have the right clothes. And they went through all this stuff to get me. And the pastor said to me, he said, well, for a sport coat, he said, you can wear one of my sport coats. I'm thinking, this is a problem. I said, pastor, that's not going to work. Pastor, there's a difference between us. I appreciate your kindness. Pastor, I might be off. I might be missing something. But something tells me what you're wearing right now, it might really not fit me. I just feel like Goliath right now. You with me on this, sir? He said, give it a try. Put on this sport coat. Are you kidding me? You ever wear a coat that's too, whatever? Listen. There could be somebody breathing in this room and God saying to you, what are you waiting for? Why are you running from me? Why are you fearful of me? You know how many people come to church, they come one way and they leave wearing the same clothes, bound by sin, lost? Billy Graham said years ago that the day will come that one of the greatest mission fields in the world that must be reached will be inside the churches of America, where there are masses of people who are there at the right place at the right time, but they're not wearing the right clothes. And I'm just saying to you as your friend this morning that Jesus Christ paid full price for a wedding garment that will fit you like nothing has ever, ever fit you. The moment you slip on Jesus, I promise you, you're going to know more joy and more peace and more freedom. How many can say with a big hallelujah that Jesus fits? Come on. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. How do I get it? By faith. It's free. And it fits. But you need to know something about this. We're almost done. There's something powerful about this garment. When I was a kid, I grew up in New England. And if you cut me, I bleed Boston Celtic green. Forgive me. And I know Knicks fans and Nets, I pray for you, whatever. But I admire them. I just love sports. I watch two ducks mud wrestle. I like any kind of a sport. I'll watch two ducks mud wrestle. I love any kind of a sport. But I remember as a kid, I wake up and put on my Boston Celtic jerseys, and I would pretend that I was whoever jersey I was wearing. And my mother, oh, I'm going to date myself. How many remember the name John Havlicek? Anybody I see, I'm really connecting with the crowd. There are four hands in the room right now. And remember John Havlicek, number 17? Are you kidding me? What's that? Honey, this man gets anything he wants for free on the table out front. I'm not even kidding. You're a Knicks fan. Forget what I just said about the free gifts, okay? He's a Knicks fan, okay? No, honey, well, Jesus is coming. If you want anything for, he said Handel. When I wore number 17, that was Handel's number. My mom, I'd be a little kid, like 5 or 6 or 7, and my mom would say at dinner, she'd say, hey, Handel, you want some more potatoes? I was Handel. I was him. I'd be in the backyard practicing 5, 4, and I always, in my dreams, I made the last shot always. But I put on that jersey. I thought that was like power. And, you know, with the costumes, the Superman, Spider-Man, whatever. Can I say this? As goofy as that might be, thinking we put on a piece of clothing and it's like powerful or lucky. I'm saying this. There's power in the wedding garment of Christ. It's not superstitious, because when you put on Jesus, the first thing he does is he changes us. Corinthians tells us, any man in Christ, the old is gone and the new is come. Again, if we are what we've always been, that's not salvation. If we are what we've always been, we're not saved. But when you come to Jesus, my friend, he takes the old, and Jesus makes you brand new. How many are glad you're not what you used to be? Come on, someone shout yes. So the wedding garment, he changes us, but then it also covers us. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And the first thing they did when their eyes were open, realized their nakedness and the guilt and shame, they hid themselves among the trees in the garden that took leaves and covered themselves. The first thing that humanity did in sin was try to make their own coverings. And people are still doing it 2,000 years later. Are you kidding me? Making their own coverings in by good works or attending church or dropping a bucket in an offering, whatever. That never saved one person. It's only the blood of Jesus, God forgiving and coming into us, that can save us. And so this idea of the power, he covers us when he sees you. Listen, he didn't just wash away your sin. He washed away your guilt. He doesn't see what we once were. Sometimes we struggle with that, don't we? Because we remind our mind, we know what he's done, but we mustn't live it. You must know that if you know Jesus, he doesn't see what you were. You're a child now. You belong to him. You are covered by the blood of Jesus. You're not what you were. There's power in the wedding garment of Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that somebody goes out to your car. I pray you walk out free. No more guilt. No more shame. No more trying to earn your salvation. We often preach grace, but live works. You go home and rest today. That 2,000 years ago, on an old rugged cross, Jesus provided a wedding garment that saves you and to cover you for all eternity. Somebody say thank you, Jesus, right now. Come on. Brother Keith, brother guitar player, Pastor Chris, are you here, man? Thank you. Your team here, got anybody with you? Or are you going solo? Got anybody with you? Somebody help him out. He's lonely up here. Come on. That's it. Come on up. They were in the back row having coffee and donuts. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Would you give your worship team? Don't you love this guy's spirit? Are you kidding me? As he strums something softly that I have written, that I should have written, I want to close with this. Are you still with me? Sister Laura said, listen, if you could, the second, if you could wrap up by 3, that would be great. I'm not going that long. I love you too much. There's hot dogs, there's backyard grills, there's British Open, there's all kinds of things happening. But nothing's more important as to where will you spend your eternity. You may know where you're going to spend the afternoon. Some people spend more time on where they'll spend that afternoon, on where am I going to go when I die. I hear a little kid yelling, mommy, mommy, mommy. You know what? Can I just pause for a second? Thank God for parents who bring their kids to church. Come on. I love that. Greg, is that a distraction? Are you kidding me? I'll take a crying baby over a snoring adult any day of the week. How about you? They're still coming. They're still coming. Service was slow at the bagel shop this morning. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's all good. Now, I said we're closing, and we are, but don't even touch your car keys. You touch them, lightning will shoot out of heaven over your chair. It's all, we drag you out, bury you, come back, finish the service. We're going to end with this in clothing. I'm actually going to talk through this. I've been yelling and screaming, and my wife's been giving me signals to slow it down a little bit. My sweet wife, by the way, you're taping again, aren't you, the second service? My mother-in-law is a wonderful woman. You never know who's listening in. You never know these days. So where are you going when you die? Where will you be 100 years from now? Not like 5 options. There's not even 3. There's only 2. You cannot take the wrong road and end up in the right place. And you can't take the right road and end up in the wrong place. Take the narrow that leads to life. Although the wide is many that travel thereon upon it, beware of the wide road that leads to destruction. Because here's what happens, and we're done. The banquet was taking place, and people were all in their place, and the king arrived at the wedding banquet. And we read it a moment ago, the king shows up, and looks, and a guy sticks out. A guy is there without the proper clothes. And the king approaches. Could you imagine that? You talk about awkward. You talk about awkward. The king walks over and just says, excuse me, friend. Pardon me. Excuse, yeah, let me take a sip of your iced tea. But when you're done, I got a question for you. Who will let you in here without the right clothes on? Nobody goes to heaven with the wrong clothes. Catholic, Protestant. What? No. A follower of Jesus Christ. A relationship with Jesus. And the king said, you know, who let you in here without the proper wedding clothes? Bible says he was shocked. The Bible says he was speechless. He was thrown outside into outer darkness. Three quick things. Number one, the person that dies without the proper clothes. If you die without Jesus, there's going to be a showdown between you and God. You'll go face to face. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Everyone present at the Great White Throne Judgment will end up in hell. It's heartbreaking. It breaks the heart of God. And this is where somebody thinks, not you because you're very kind, but in some places, some people would think now, well, there they go, man. They talk love, but they bring hell into it. Come on. This is a message of love. There's no hate here this morning. God cares about you, man. This is God coming after you. This is God's mercy. But hell is real. And, oh, Greg, if God was to love you, wouldn't send people. People make their own decision. Jesus has done in doing all he can to seek and save the lost. And so there's going to be a showdown face to face. You will stand before Almighty God. Philippians says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so number one, there was a showdown. But secondly, there was shock. It says the man was speechless. And Luke tells us, Jesus says in Luke, the day will come where people are going to go, wait a minute, Lord, I cast out devils. I worked miracles. I went to church every Sunday. I was an usher. I was a greeter. I had a key to every closet in that church. And the son is going to say, I'm sorry, man. I don't even know you. I don't know who you are. How sobering is that? To live our lives to see the devil is the father of lies. And so there's going to be a showdown, but then he's speechless. But then came eternal separation when the unthinkable happened, when the king said to the servants, throw that man outside. He doesn't belong in here. I know it's disturbing and it ought to be, but people who reject Jesus, they spend hell forever and ever and ever in that awful place. And God doesn't want you there. That's why he said, I've come to seek and save the lost. I'm going to end with this. And I wish it was over a cup of coffee and a bagel or with a gentle voice. I know I got a rough voice. I lost it this week and I can't. And just calm, no sweat, no spit. But I want to ask you this. Where will you spend your eternity? I'm glad your retirement, you know, whatever. But where, during your funeral, where will you be? I was sharing with Sister Law before church. We were just talking, and it was 3 years ago now where our pastor, my best friend, he and his wife were driving home from church after ice cream, after Sunday morning church, June 7, 2015, when 1 mile from their house, they were hit by a drunk driver. Lynn, our pastor's wife, was killed on impact. Her neck snapped, wasn't a scratch on her body or her helmet. Lynn Cuck, my best friend, best friends, thrown into an embankment, gone in an instant. Brian was under the front wheel of the tire, lost his left leg. They removed his left leg with a pair of scissors. I preached the funeral, his wife's funeral, when Brian was still in a coma, unsure he'd live. He's back now by God's grace and by God's mercy. and God restored and still the grief, all those things. But if he were here, he'd tell you, he'd say, for Lynn, to die is gain. He said, but for me, it's still to live as Christ. She's received her gain. Lois said it. Pastor Neary there in Kenya, the leader that passed, he's finished his course. There's nothing like having the insurance that when you die, that heaven will be your home. So I'm going to end with this and we're going to be done. I want to ask you, are you absolutely certain you're wearing the right clothes? Has Jesus Christ changed your life? If he has, then you giggle out to your car today, saying, thank you, Jesus. Sing the song I wrote years ago, Amazing Grace. And say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Come on, somebody. I was blind, but now I see. How many are glad you're saved this morning? But if you're not, I have a wedding garment that's got your name on it. The devil says, be still, don't move. The tall, sweaty, obnoxious man will be done in a second. But the Spirit of God says to you, I've got something for you. I've got something you can never afford. There may be somebody breathing like there was in the first service. He says, Greg, I'm not ready to live. I'm not ready to die today. I need to receive that garment of salvation that only comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.